Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea. Welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from Spokane Valley, Washington, on this day after Christmas, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, and Merry Christmas. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. And it's about Luke 17, 20 through 21. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is inside you, or in some translations, in your midst. Thank you, everybody out there, for praying for me, praying for Victoria, especially over this last week. All the Psalm 91 prayers, Psalm 35 prayers, just been fantastic. It's just unbelievable, the outpouring of support. Literally thousands of people from the district, from across the country, rallying against what everybody perceives correctly as the March of Tyranny. So thank you, everybody, once again. And I just can't say enough about the Christian church is coming together. God is providing a dividing line, a choice. People can't sit on the fence anymore. They've got to choose one side or the other. And, you know, people try to say, well, the Lord is on my side. Well, not really. We have to choose the Lord and be on his side and be in his presence. And that's the only way we can really assure that it's not our own motivations that are out. But I will tell you that in this time, it's becoming a lot starker what is happening in America. We saw what happened with the President of the United States with this fake impeachment sham. Then we saw what happened with a couple other politicians, notably, and I'll get to this later in the show, Governor Matt Bevin out of Kentucky. And if you haven't heard this, just wait for it. And then also what's happening right here in Washington State with yours truly, and also in neighboring Idaho with Representative Heather Scott. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today with my guest, and then we'll also talk about, more importantly, his life, what he has experienced, and why that's important for us, especially this day after Christmas, to realize that in America, it's not something that just continues to the next generation by osmosis. It's something that needs to be taught, something that needs to be kept, something that actually needs to be fought for in courts and in politics to be solidified for the next generation. This idea of liberty, ordered liberty, the idea that the Bible means what it says, the idea that the Constitution means what it says, and those things are worth fighting for. All right, now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, coming to us from Hong Kong and straight out of InfoWars. Hong Kong protests intensified during the Christmas week. Anti-government protesters. Now, notice they call them anti-government. Okay, here's the deal. Okay, pro-small government, pro-government within the correct boundaries. Okay. Marched against, although I guess in China it's completely anti-government because they're just Marxist communists. All right, so marched through Christmas-decorated shopping malls on Christmas Day as police fired tear gas and used batons to attempt to disperse crowds. Now, I've heard reports that they are actually sending now train cars, trucks in to take and remove people. So you're starting to see what people here in America are very concerned about might happen actually here. This idea of rounding up conservatives, trying to ship them off to camps, re-education camps, has happened in other parts of China. So whoever's going to message me right now and say, oh, that's not true, go read so we can have an intellectual, educated, rational discussion about that. All right. Here is one of the interesting quotes out of the article, in my opinion. Hundreds of protesters, many dressed in black with face masks on, chanted slogans like Liberate Hong Kong and Revolution of Our Times. There were reportedly no major clashes, but police employed tear gas for the first time on December 24th and 25th. Notably, they are actually singing the national anthem every once in a while, too. As you look at some of these protest videos, it's pretty incredible, actually. They're actually capturing the spirit of America in Hong Kong. And thank God the spirit of America is alive and well, still here at home. We'll talk about that in a little bit. All right, also on the international front, out of Hungary, Viktor Orban asked a question. We have all these problems here in Europe. What do we do about them? Well, Jesus is the answer. And you would think that the mainstream media had a meltdown at that, but it's true. Jesus is the answer, and that's exactly what he said, which is why I just have such great respect for Viktor Orban in Hungary, along with many other leaders over there in Eastern Europe right now. Because they know what it means to be under National Socialism and then under Communism. They know what it means. They don't ever go back there. Rightfully so. All right, out of the Middle East, this is important, coming to us from Debka File. The Egyptian government under General el-Sisi sent tanks to Libya to thwart a Turkish intervention in the battle for Tripoli. Okay, I'm gonna stop here. If you remember on this show, I explained here a couple of months ago what was actually happening in the Middle East and that there was a new alignment between Turkey, the Muslim Brotherhood, Iran, and Qatar, and a few other countries, versus Saudi Arabia, Israel, the United States, Egypt, and some other countries. We're seeing, it's what people call the new Cold War, actually, and we're seeing this playing out right now with what happened with Egypt. Now, in this article, it actually admits this. This week, the Libyan Muslim Brotherhood convinced the Tripoli government to formally apply to Ankara for military assistance to repel the Haftar advance. Okay, now that's the Libyan forces that are actually trying to seize Tripoli, the capital of Libya, from UN-backed forces, which consist of Muslim Brotherhood members. Okay, just so we're clear there, all right? Now, if you don't understand this all started back with Presidential Study Directive number 11. This was detailed very well in the Center for Security Policy article on the same thing. That it became the official position of the Obama administration to support the Muslim Brotherhood in the Middle East, and that is one of the catalysts for the Arab Spring. It was actually a Muslim Brotherhood revolution. Okay, now the Muslim Brotherhood obviously is a terrorist organization. They've infiltrated all throughout the United States of America, as you've heard me talk about on this show. But el-Sisi took these steps in response to Erdogan, that's the head of Turkey, planning to send over a volunteer force from, wait for it, the Turkish Muslim Brotherhood to help resist this advance into Tripoli. So el-Sisi said, yeah, it's not going to happen, sends tanks there, and it looks like those forces are winning as of today, according to Debka File. It looks like they burst into the outskirts of Tripoli. So this is what's really happening in the Middle East. It's the Muslim Brotherhood versus people that actually don't want to be under Muslim Brotherhood rule, and this idea that Erdogan and Turkey is going to become the next caliphate. Keep your eyes on this, folks. It's amazing how this is happening. Remember, you heard it on Patriot Radio. All right. Also on the international front, the globalists in the Financial Times actually printing an editorial in the Financial Times advocating for the United Nations to intervene in the United States in this next election year. Oh, wait, but it gets better, or worse, as it were. They also advocate a complete rewriting of the Constitution by Aloya Yurga, which is a term from Afghanistan for effectively a tribal council. In other words, not elected representatives, rewriting our Constitution here in the United States of America in a mainstream major publication, the Financial Times. I think these folks are trying to provoke something is what I think is happening. Keep your eyes on it. On the national front, the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, if you don't know what the Council on Foreign Relations is, it's one of the most influential organizations in the world. And they have come out now, and they are advocating under a new report, okay, that the United States actually needs more mass migration, in other words, illegal immigration, and a bigger welfare state. In other words, they're advocating for the Cloward-Piven strategy to collapse our country and eviscerate our sovereignty. This new report, dubbed the Work Ahead, Machine Skills and U.S. Leadership in the 21st Century, this was one of the policy recommendations from the CFR, which is a globalist outfit. So once again, the globalists are advocating for the destruction of U.S. sovereignty. All right, also on the national front, Murkowski, the senator from Alaska, who is the chief of the rhinos in Congress, went against the grain of her party with recent comments about the impeachment of President Donald Trump, stating in an interview that she was disturbed by Senator Mitch McConnell vowing to cooperate with the White House. This coming to us from the New American Magazine. You think? People were saying, oh, the Senate's going to kill it. You got to be really careful because you got these rhinos like Murkowski that can totally flip on you and maybe already had the intent to do it for months in advance, and you just don't know. Because they don't really care. They don't have any moral conviction about telling the truth or being open and transparent. What they try to do is hide their true intentions and then, boom, hit you at the last minute. All right, also on the national front, this coming to us from Kentucky, from WorldNet Daily, the article, FBI probing some pardons by former Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin. In other words, Matt Bevin, as a governor, issued pardons according to his power as governor, and now the FBI is looking into him. What we are now seeing is a pattern where fake dossiers will be created on somebody, whether it's Donald Trump or Matt Bevin or Matt Shea, and those fake dossiers will then be used to try to destroy them and discredit all of their followers. And I say followers in the sense of followers on social media, because really this isn't about President Trump or Matt Bevin or Matt Shea. This is about the people. They are coming to destroy the people. And so what they want to do is create relational connection charts of all the followers of these folks on social media and then try to come after them, effectively creating a social credit system like you have in China, where you are ranked based on how good you are according to the perceived narrative. Super, super, super concerning stuff. All right, also on the national front, the New American Magazine, U.S. getting back into rare earth processing to break China's monopoly. Well, the United States actually used to be one of the largest rare earth metal processors and then got away from it, allowing China to get a monopoly. Now, this is very awesome, I believe. This is something that should have been done a long time ago. 17 rare earth metals, 97% of the world's supply of these important minerals were produced by China, making us almost totally dependent. So the Trump administration said, no, we're not going to do that. And a press release issued by the Department of the Interior, and they are doing a great job, by the way. Wim Perry Penley and some of these guys are doing a fantastic job now in the Department of Interior. On November 18th, stated under Executive Order 13817, signed by President Trump, effectively that these are critical minerals. And the United States and Australia then, that same day, formalized their cooperation in the field of critical minerals. So what you're seeing now is a realization that we shouldn't be dependent on China for these things and a reinvigoration of the rare earth metals processing in the United States. About time that finally happened. All right, also on the national front, I saw this article in InfoWars. I just love the title, Upside Down Kingdom. Kanye West is preaching the gospel, but Pope Francis is telling people not to evangelize. Does that not say it all? Really? Does that not say it all? I love the way the Lord works. He works in the most unexpected ways, too. I love it. All right, also on the national front, coming to us from Virginia. I'm going to keep an eye on Virginia for quite a while here. You heard about this rhetoric over there that effectively they were going to try to use the National Guard to round up gun owners when they pass anti-gun laws because Virginia's legislature flipped. And then you heard a sheriff respond And then multiple counties and then multiple cities respond saying, we are Second Amendment sanctuary cities, Second Amendment sanctuary counties. And a sheriff said, look, I'll just deputize everybody that wants to be deputized so they can all own firearms. Well, now, and this coming to us from Law Enforcement Today. So this is a source, the Law Enforcement Today. Virginia increases corrections budget in preparation for arrests of gun owners, comma, police. So Virginia is actually preparing to round people up and put them in prison for being innocent gun owners. That is amazing to me. And amazing to me that this hasn't made more news nationally. Look, folks, we're with our brothers and sisters in Virginia. This is just unbelievable. Unbelievable they would continue to try to do something like this. Unreal. All right, on the regional front, we talked about how Antifa stopped Christmas caroling in Olympia, then how finally the Seattle Times recognized maybe there should be a state of king. They obviously didn't mention the state of liberty, but that's okay. You guys can have your state of king. We'll have our state of liberty. We'll see which works better. But this is really disturbing coming out of downtown Seattle. There's a couple things. First, the city of Seattle actually had a PDC complaint filed against them for misuse of public facilities to oppose a ballot proposition. Anybody want to guess which one that was? Anybody want to guess? Could it have been I-976 and $30 car tabs? All right. Also coming out of downtown Seattle, Seattle Public Schools sent a letter to thousands of parents that they could their students, their children could be banned from returning to school after Christmas break if they're not up to date on their vaccinations. I'm sure they probably sent to you. Copy of the exemption forms with them, right? Because they can still get exemptions. Just not personal or philosophical, but they can get medical exemptions and religious exemptions from the MMR vaccine, among others, in the state of Washington. And personal and philosophical removal of those exemptions only was for the MMR vaccine, but it was clearly stated by Representative Paul Harris, among others, that that was just a stepping stone. So we're seeing Seattle be kind of the test case for this for mandatory vaccinations, so we'll keep our eyes on that as well. Also, told you, we talked about this, and I'm not trying to be, I told you so, but, you know, there were all these people, oh, it's never going to happen, it's just not going to happen, you're blowing it out of proportion. When I said, look, if you allow for the biodissolving of human beings and the use of biosludge on crops, that eventually dissolved human beings are going to be used to fertilize crops. And that's what's happening. They're testing this idea. Anyway, I posted the article up on, I think, Patriot Radio's Facebook page. Check it out. Unbelievable. Soylent Green is people. Never thought we would say that, but it's true. All right. That is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for me and Victoria for the show. Blessings to you all. Merry Christmas. And if you get a chance, you can go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. Have that great Christmas to New Year's conversation with your family members. And also remember that Patriot Radio is on iTunes and Podbean. Well, my guest today is Pastor Afshin Yagtin, and he is pastor of New Covenant Baptist here in Spokane, Washington. He is a founder of Save Magazine, among many other things. Pastor Afshin, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much, Matt Shea. I mean, what a blessing and an honor, a privilege, especially at this time with everything that you're going through, to have me on here. Thank you so much.
Well, you're one of the most courageous pastors that I know, and I just thank you for everything that you're doing for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So if you could, because I know you, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and kind of your life story, how you came here to America, and then we can kind of jump into some of these other issues.
Absolutely. I'd love to pick it up there. So if you remember back in the late 1970s, there was a revolution in Iran between the Islamic Republic and the people. And my family moved out of, and we immigrated out when I was 5 years old or so, out of Iran and came to California, very liberal state that, that I grew up in. We kind of had a sense, my family had a sense that, you know, what was on the horizon. And we left about a year before that, came to Los Angeles, where I spent 38 years before moving to Spokane. And that's where I went to school, went to college. I went to, you know, I got saved at that time in my college years when I was about 21. And it's been a long, you know, long journey since then to where I am now. But that's sort of the brief of it, of where I came out of and just fleeing in a way the religious persecution there in some ways that would have come if I'd stayed.
Well, tell us a little bit about, do you have family members still left in Iran? And what is it? What is the situation on the ground for a Christian in Iran?
Well, for one thing, I couldn't go back. You know, if I went back to Iran, I believe I would be instantly detained at the airport, and that would be that. And I don't know if I would ever make it out at that point. So I have much family in Iran. I don't know many of them because, you know, having grown up here, but, you know, lots of extended family there. I have my immediate family here, but they're mostly in California as far as my parents, brother, you know. But then I've got my wife and kids here with me, of course.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Right now, it is a Shia Muslim regime that is there. And they enforce religious law in pretty much every aspect and area of a person's life.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's much we could say. You probably know about as much about the religious political situation in Iran because, you know, having grown up here, I get what we get from the news, which is often not the best. You know, it's a lot of it is fake news, as we know. But one thing that is clear is that at one point in Iran, it was becoming secularized. It was becoming a sort of a westernized culture with the Shah of Iran before the Islamic regime came in. That's sort of where my origins are with the previous administration of Iran. We were fleeing the Islamic, you know, religion that was taking over every aspect of the government. So yeah, not a good place for women, not a good place for any other religion but Islam.
So back here in America, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like the word persecution. They don't like it being thrown around. And yet I was really struck by a comment by Brother Yoon, who is a Chinese house church leader. And he wrote in his book, The Heavenly Man, about a conversation he was having with a friend where, you know, essentially they came to the conclusion that, you know, beatings and torture happen in China, but effectively the words are the persecution in the West, and it's not an easier form of persecution. That was a fascinating thing because he'd been beaten and imprisoned, but it's just different, and it's still persecution. I found that comment just absolutely striking. It's happening here in America. It really is. Everywhere we look, it is, if you're paying attention anyway.
Absolutely. I love that quote. That was from the presentation you did on Tortured for Christ, if I remember. And it is true. And, you know, one thing we're seeing is that it's beginning to move away from just words. That's where it starts, of course. But we are seeing Christians persecuted, as you know, and it really is beginning here as well. So that's coming, and it already has come.
Well, I think that, you know, you don't want something like this to happen. I mean, you don't really, I guess, look forward to it in the sense of your humanity. But, you know, Scripture is pretty clear that if you follow the path of Christ, persecution inevitably will follow you. It happens. They persecuted Jesus. They're going to persecute us. And so we're not supposed to be surprised by it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're promised from the Word of God that we will suffer persecution if we're following Christ and standing up for His Word. So, you know, a lot of the prosperity preachers, for example, will you know, they talk about all the promises from the Word of God. I like to say, well, the promise is that if you're standing up for Christ, you are going to be persecuted. It's a mark of following, you know, the Word.
Yeah, I had a very good pastor friend of mine just talk about the fact that they don't preach the prosperity gospel in North Korea, you know, because you just can't, right?
Right.
And just practically, you can't. But a lot of people do preach that, and God said that He would give us life and life more abundantly. I want to be clear on that.
Yes.
But this idea that we're just going to skate through life and nothing's going to ever touch us, and we have this kind of normalcy bias in America that things have always been good for us or always going to be good for us is really, it's just not the way the rest of the world is.
Yeah, I think that I came to that realization after 9/11, which was, you know, a serious wake-up call to all of us that, like you said, we have to keep fighting, you know, spiritually, politically for these ideas. For these American ideals, they're not just going to appear out of thin air. We have to keep teaching them to our children and to the culture.
We absolutely do. So I want to, let's talk first about what happened to you. And then I really want to spend some time on Save Magazine toward the end of the program as well. But let's talk a little bit about what happened to you in America. So there is a drag queen story hour that's coming to Spokane. Pick it up from there.
Yeah, so, you know, this was the first ever in Spokane history. And just to backtrack a tiny bit, one of the first sermons I ever preached about 5-6 years ago or so, I'm fairly new, you know, newer as a pastor, but about 5-6 years ago, the very first sermon or second sermon that I ever preached, my prediction was that persecution in America was going to come through the LGBT agenda and through that entire, you know, what they're pushing. It's real propaganda that we see. And I didn't realize that would come to pass in my own life. I just was speaking in general, but that's what I saw. You know, for the first time ever in Spokane history, there was going to be a drag queen story hour at the South Hill Library right here in Spokane. And I was just shocked, you know. I mean, this, we would see this in New York. We would see it in very liberal states. And I know, you know, Washington with Seattle is liberal, but I didn't expect it to come here to Spokane. It's what we were fleeing from. That's why, you know, I call myself a California refugee. We were leaving that kind of thing. And so, you know, we had a call to action. I just, you know, between myself and Pastor Ken and other pastors, local pastors in the area, we thought, you know, let's do something. You know, let's stand up for this peaceably, of course, but let's have a presence there. Let's show up. And so, you know, to kind of make a long story short, and maybe we can then, you know, dissect some of it. But basically, I showed up with the intent to enter the library about a week before we had planned a sit-in protest. We were planning to, you know, to show up and simply peaceably take the space inside of the reading room, so that there wouldn't be room for children to hear this, you know, stories about gender confusion and gender identity and things that I consider that would harm those children's minds, you know, and just, it's a visual assault on the children as well, because it's very provocative. It's not modest in any way. And so my plan was to, let's have an old-fashioned, you know, peaceable sit-in protest. But I realized about 2 days before that, it was announced that that was not going to happen, because they would not allow anybody into the reading room unless you were accompanied by a child. And of course, I didn't want to subject my children to that. So I decided, you know, I was kind of broken up about that. I'm like, what are we going to do? And I just went into prayer mode at that point, and I prayed, and the word I got just deep in my spirit, you know, nothing audible, of course, but just in my spirit, was just show up. And that's what I did. I had no plans at that point to protest. I didn't bring signs. I wasn't yelling out. I didn't have a megaphone. I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to go inside the library and just pray or minister and just act out my vocation. I was obstructed by the Spokane Police Department, told that I cannot enter the library unless I agreed with the LGBT side, which I thought was discriminatory. I stood my ground. I restated that I would like to simply enter the public forum which is our public library as a Spokane resident, as a U.S. citizen, and exercise my constitutional right of free speech and free religion. I was told that if I didn't move immediately across the street, far removed from the event, that I would be arrested. And so I basically said, well, if that's how it's going to be, then you're going to have to arrest me. Within minutes, I was arrested, thrown into a paddy wagon. It's a mobile cell unit in the back right. of, you know, and you know much of the rest. But that's sort of the summary, a little bit of a long story, apologize, but it's that was basically the short of it.
Well, I appreciate the longer story, actually. So you were arraigned, and then it went to court. And how did the prosecutor treat you? I mean, how did the whole thing go?
That part has kind of been shocking to me, honestly, because I expect, maybe it was naive of me at first, but I expected, you know, let's look at the truth, like what actually occurred. But it was really just a political agenda on display from the prosecution. I mean, it's been the word that comes to mind, two words. One is just relentless in their pursuit of me. And unmerciful. I mean, just they wanted to throw the book at me in every single way. And the other word that comes to mind was discriminatory and prejudice, because I was literally called a religious loony while I was being prosecuted. The prosecutor posted that in his social media on Facebook, that he's trying a case with a bunch of religious loonies. There is much more to that. I mean, there's more to that as well. There's been several instances where it went beyond prosecution and trying to establish justice to what I believe has been persecution by the prosecutor of Spokane. And so it's been a crazy ride.
And the city of Spokane, just to, so that we're clear, but the interesting part to me about that is that actually goes really close to a line in the rules of professional conduct to disparage defendants, because prosecutors are still officers of the court. Their duty is to seek the truth, not to go after religious nuts. You follow me? I mean, this has been enshrined in U.S. law and in tradition for 200 years. The prosecutor's job was to seek the truth, not to go after religious nuts, according to their perspective. That really is alarming.
It is. And that's what was very shocking to me. And it didn't just end there. You know, it took once the honorable judge on the case, and I really mean that, I mean, just having observed her dealing with other cases that while I was waiting for mine, I mean, I just thought we had a very, very fair judge who was seeking the truth and justice and constitutionality. But she dismissed the charges completely. But it didn't even take maybe perhaps 24 hours for the prosecution to indicate to my lawyers that he's going to file a motion to reconsider. But then he waited a good 2 weeks or so, and he submitted that the day before Christmas Eve, and threw in it was kind of strategic, because he threw in at the very end, when he sent that to the attorneys, he said at the very end of it, Merry Christmas, you know, as he's, so again, he was mocking the fact that we're Christians. And so I thought there's been a pattern of that. It wasn't just that one, you know, incident. So it's kind of shocking, I think, for me. I was saddened by that.
Well, I think it's, first of all, they always try to do this stuff right before Christmas. They do that intentionally. It's actually historical. A lot of bad votes on bills that they wanted to try to cover up, from the creation of the Federal Reserve, you know, and all the things associated with it, to, you know, today with impeachment. And then the day after impeachment, they put out the report on me, you know, during the Christmas time. And then they send this letter to you, Pastor Afshin. The idea that the process is supposed to be blind, or Lady Justice is supposed to be blind, that's why she has a blindfold on in the pictures you see, really is being ignored today for that political agenda that's out there. And the Supreme Court just ruled on this in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, where it said the process has to be unbiased. But clearly, it would appear that in this case, it just isn't. You know, I know you're praying through this. What are your, you know, what are your thoughts for, you know, other Americans that might be experiencing this, or, and, or do you think that this is going to spread? Do you think it's going to be just limited maybe to these few cases?
I think, you know, my gut feeling is that it's only going to increase, but the advice I would give, what's really needed and why we're in this position to begin with, is that not enough pastors, not enough Christians have really taken a stand. Not enough legislators have taken a stand. And so that's the problem we're in, because I was kind of, you know, taking that stand to some degree on my own. You know, we need more people out there, you know, on that day, you know, we need more people out there standing for biblical values, not being afraid, because, you know, in the old days, they used to throw Christians to lions. This is nothing, you know, and we're at a point right now where it's a precipice. And if we don't act now, it's going to be too late. It might already be too late, but I'm optimistic by nature. So I'm, you know, I believe we can still turn things around.
Well, I want to come back to that thought, but I want to move next to this report against me. And normally I don't talk about myself on Patriot Radio, but the problem is this time these guys really went overboard in their attempt to smear me nationally and internationally. And so I want to talk about this briefly. I'm going to go through 8 quick points. I want to get your reaction to what's happening, you know, and then also think about what can Christians do besides pray? I mean, we also have to move to action as Christians. So what can Christians do besides pray? So first point that I want to tackle on this is that it was really clear that the original contract for this so-called investigators for $120,000, but bullet points 2 and 3 in the contract actually gave this investigator, purported to give this investigator, authority to investigate non-members of the House, so in other words, third parties, investigate them and assign them a threat level. That is a startling, it seems to me clearly unconstitutional idea, but startling thing that they want to start putting people on threat lists, especially with this whole idea of red flag laws out there. What is your reaction to that?
As far as singling out certain legislators like yourself?
Well, not just legislators, but I'm talking about third-party individuals that they want to investigate. It doesn't have anything to do with the legislature, but they want to investigate and assign a threat level. I mean, I could see how that wow. might actually pertain to Christians.
I mean, that sounds like China, you know, and Marxism, like you say. I think that would be very shocking. I mean, I didn't know they were planning to do that.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible, and I'm trying to get this word out. So I'm going to go through the rest of the 8 points, but that one in particular just... it's so egregious and kind of goes to what we were already talking about. But the second point is very simple, that it's still a constitutionally protected right in America to peaceably assemble while armed. And just because you're armed doesn't mean there's a presumption that you want to create armed conflict. And that really is the logical fallacy, the presumption, the false presumption that undergirds virtually everything in the Democrats' anti-gun agenda and the Marxist anti-gun agenda. It's this idea that if you have a gun, you must be wanting armed conflict. Quite the opposite, actually, quite the contrary. People are armed because they want to avoid conflict. That's the whole reason. In fact, the studies, multiple over years and years and years, show that crime actually decreases where there are a lot more gun owners. Third point. So the investigation effectively found in 3 separate incidents that they allege that I planned the Malheur Refuge, the Bundy Ranch, and the Priest River, Idaho. And I want to go through each one of these. First, there's actually a video out now. First of all, well, actually, let me back up. 24 plus, by our count so far, material witnesses were never interviewed by this investigator. There is now a video out by one of the people who conclusively disproves, material witness, conclusively disproves the prosecutors or this investigators or fake news person's investigation. And this is the interesting part about it. As I'm reading this, Brand Thornton's video specifically says that what they found in the report isn't true. And then he goes through and details exactly what happened in the conversation. So the so-called investigator didn't interview this person, and this is what would be known in a criminal court as exculpatory evidence, or evidence that tends to disprove their case. Number four, they actually admit in the report by the so-called investigator that my goal down there at the Malheur Refuge was peaceful resolution. Okay, so you've got two concrete things disproving their findings. So let's move on to Bunkerville. There's actually two videos now by Ammon Bundy that conclusively disprove the idea that I planned Bunkerville. The next point, there are more videos, actually three videos of North Idaho of the entire event. And, oh, by the way, the county sheriff was standing with us at the event in North Idaho when the VA was purporting that they had the authority to take a veteran's guns, and he could no longer own guns. And then mysteriously, a few days later, they reversed the position. The doctor changed the checkbox, and he can own firearms again. Just amazing what happened. This is what they have characterized as an official investigation, and it's totally Mickey Mouse. They didn't investigate material witnesses. They totally mischaracterized these events, and what they're really leading to is any Christians that try to do peaceful sit-ins or something like that, they're trying to turn it into something nefarious. So, Pastor Ashton, I would like to get your thought on this idea that any sort of standing up to federal government overreach, the idea of standing up for people's God-given unalienable rights, is somehow now they're trying to purport as terrorism. Doesn't even fit the definition, by the way, because if it's a peaceful intent, it can't be.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, just getting my perspective from seeing it from the outside, you know, looking at everything that they were showing and saying about, you know, you and this report. I mean, first of all, it was a completely sham report. I mean, that's so evident. Just if you're looking at it, it's a Seattle-based organization with ties to Democrats that they donate to that did this report, and it's a private entity. So that alone is shocking to me. That I don't know how all the inside politics of that work, but when you have it, the impression that they're giving was that this was some kind of official investigation by perhaps the FBI, because Kathy Lodler is an ex-FBI agent who's the CEO of the Rampart Group that did this investigation. They were paid over $100,000 for this report. And like you said, they didn't interview, you know, the right people. They didn't interview people that were there. They didn't interview, you know, it's such a sham. It's just a counterfeit. So this idea that this is the official investigation is just, it's ludicrous to me. But what I'm also seeing is a vilification of the militia. You know, just if the militia is around, that's a bad thing, according to liberals. Whereas the way I see it is the militia is a checks and balances to when our civil authorities are out of balance. And so, you know, we're keeping the peace, like you said, with the militia, or it's just private citizens being armed for the purpose of keeping the peace, you know. So there's just a major overreaction. I mean, it's astonishing to me what they're doing. It's, you know, I mean, calling you a domestic terrorist based on a sham report. It's very shocking.
Well, you know, and like I said, I mean, there's videos of this stuff, so conclusively disproving it. And it's been kind of an amazing thing how quickly the report's findings have disintegrated. As people have come forward, there have been at least three material witnesses that have made statements publicly now so far. And I know there's more that are going to be coming out. So it's just fascinating. And I guess what's concerning to me, too, is people don't understand the word militia and where it comes from. It actually comes from the U.S. Constitution, but also the Washington State Constitution. And you can look it up yourself. I believe it's Article 10. You can look up the definition of militia as every able-bodied male between the ages of 18 and 45 in the state of Washington. So the idea, this idea actually goes way, way back. And in fact, Poland now has adopted the idea in Poland as a check against Russian aggression in that area of the world to make most every citizen a member of the militia. So I think that that word has been turned into something scary where we need to get back to the historic root of what it means in the Constitution. And you've been doing a lot of articles on different issues that are out there. This, you know, we've talked about, you know, Christian persecution, but you started Save Magazine. And I want you to talk for a few minutes about Save Magazine, kind of the issues you've been talking about, how people can go find out more information. And you guys have been pretty successful. You've been doing a few printings. It's great.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So with Saved Magazine, you know, the purpose initially was just to have an avenue in print that we can spread the word, spread the gospel, fight abortion through abolitionism, bring awareness to vaccine mandates, a lot of the issues that you're very passionate about. So really, we're just hitting every controversial issue from a biblical Christian perspective. And the main purpose, of course, is also to teach correct biblical doctrine, to get the word out, to save souls. That's really the heart of it and what it's about. It's a quarterly magazine. It deals with different themes every time. So, you know, we're not just a mishmash of different articles. We get very concentrated and focused on specific themes. You know, one of the themes that's coming up, for example, which I would love to have you involved in, that we've talked about, you know, a little bit, is issue 6, which is dealing with liberty and the Constitution and politics and gun rights and militias and all, you know, all of the things that pertain to that from a liberty, biblical, Christian perspective. And just to add one quick thing to that I wanted to get in there is that what people don't understand when we're talking about these standoffs that like the Bundy Ranch or these different incidences that they're accusing you of, it comes down to a lack of education on state rights versus federalism, on individual liberty, on the lesser magistrate. You know, we are duty bound to follow the U.S. Constitution. And when a federal entity steps out of line of the U.S. Constitution, you're not obligated to follow an unlawful command. So that's really, those are the kinds of issues, you know, we want to cover in Saved Magazine. It's a patriotic magazine, it's Christian, it's conservative, and people can go to savedmag.com and subscribe. We need the support. We need people to go and join us, you know, in our endeavor to get the word out. So I appreciate you mentioning that as well. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also New Covenant, tell us about your church.
Yeah, so we're a small Baptist church. You could say Baptist non-denominational, very similar. We're, you know, Baptist in doctrine and in terms of it's just purely grace through faith for salvation. You can't earn it, keep it, maintain it by your own merit. It all is by the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb. You know, that's how we get saved, by having Jesus Christ as our substitute at the judgment, as our Savior, and believing in His death, burial, and resurrection. So that's really what we teach at our church, and we do also cover the social issues. You know, one thing many churches are not doing today is talking about abortion, is talking about vaccines, or talking about the LGBT agenda. You know, we're not shy to talk about those things. And in fact, they come up pretty frequently. So that's something that I encourage others to do. We're a small church. We're growing in the area. And I appreciate that. If anyone wants to come, you can always go to our website as well and check us out. It's newcovenantbaptist.org.
Well, I want to kind of dovetail on that. How do you answer the criticism that you shouldn't be having politics in the pulpit, Pastor? What are you doing?
Well, first of all, we're not a 501c3. So that, you know, I believe that we can say what we want to, as long as it's according to the word of God. And that is our final authority in the church. And so one thing that pastors used to do is talk about politics. I mean, look at the civil rights movement in 1964. right? In the 1960s and 50s, it was the pastors that were leading those political movements. And even back in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, it was the pastors that were on the front lines of these debates. So that's the problem with America today. That's why we're in the position we're in, because churches aren't talking about these things.
And especially at Christmas time, we should be talking about this stuff. We have brothers and sisters all over the world being persecuted right now.
Yeah, it's really tragic. I mean, we have it so good right now, but you know, it's gonna turn if we don't now, you know, start not just praying like you said, but actually, you know, doing good works and being the church and standing for good.
Yeah, that's right. And also, you know, standing on the line for those that can't speak for themselves, you know, the Church of Planned Parenthood, a lot of people come down there. You're one of them. We should be doing those kinds of things and just bringing worship and God's word right to the gates of hell, literally.
Amen. I mean, I am so encouraged by the fact that you show up at those events and you show up regularly. It's not just, you know, one time, you know, here and there. I mean, you are there, and that showed me who you are, you know, for me. And the fact that you constantly checked in on me and when I'm going through my trials, and when you had nothing politically to gain by that. In fact, you had everything to lose by you know, taking the stances that you're taking with the church at Planned Parenthood, meeting at the gates of hell in front of Planned Parenthood, Spokane. So yeah, I mean, those are the things that I'm just sad that more churches and more pastors aren't doing it. But although something unique is happening here in Spokane, it definitely is.
Yeah, absolutely it is. So a message to millennials, young people out there that are listening to this show right now, the day after Christmas, why should they care about this stuff? That happened to my grandparents maybe, you know, in the former Soviet Union or in Iran or wherever. You know, this doesn't really matter to me. It's not going to happen here in America. What would be your message to them?
I would say speak to the Slavic community that's here. I mean, they can see that, you know, we have a big Slavic community, and they can see that we are headed in the exact direction that communist Russia is, you know, was headed in. And in some ways, they're more liberated than we are on some things, which is kind of bizarre in this topsy-turvy world that we live in. Like, you know, where Kanye West is preaching, as you said, you know, and the Pope is telling us not to evangelize. Everything is backwards today. You know, think about Isaiah 5:20 about calling evil good and good evil. That's exactly what we see, and it's really important for the next generation and our generation to stand together for liberty, because they're going to come after everybody that they disagree with on both sides. It's just starting with us.
Yep, it is just starting with us. And it takes a couple people to stand up and say, you know something? What God said in the scripture was live out your Christianity beyond the four walls of the church, and we need to start doing that. And we need to know our history, because that also helps us determine where we're going. We can't know where we're going if we don't know where we came from. And it's interesting that there has been this attempt by the Marxists in every country to erase history, erase a nation's identity, erase morals, values, religion, erase property rights, erase the right to bear arms, erase the family. It's similar in every single country, and we're seeing it here in America, and everybody's all of a sudden really shocked. But it's happened everywhere else.
It's absolutely shocking. I mean, coming here as a legal immigrant, right, in the late 70s, and being a part of, you know, growing up here in the 80s and the 90s, seeing the freedom that we had, the liberty that we had, the integration that we had with legal immigrants that would come and embrace the culture and embrace Christian values is what this nation was founded upon. It's absolutely shocking to me to see how quickly things have gone in the exact opposite direction. I never thought this could happen in America. That's what's mind-boggling.
All right, last minute we've got left. If you could plug your websites again where people can go to find out more about SAVE, find more about New Covenant, and also just try to friend you maybe on social media.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so really important. You know, we do need your support at savedmag.com. Just simply subscribing, getting a taste for our magazine, seeing what we're about, seeing it in print. It's uncensored print. It can't tell, unlike Facebook, which I'm on also, you can find me on Facebook under my name, Afshin Yakhtin. You can find me on YouTube as well in the same name, and newcovenantbaptist.org. So I appreciate all that. I appreciate you having me on and being a real encouragement to me. So I really appreciate you here, and we're going to be supporting, praying for you, and I just encourage everybody to get behind Representative Matt Shea. I mean, we need him here in Spokane.
Well, Pastor Afshin, thank you. Blessings to you and your family. Merry Christmas. And, you know, Jesus Christ came into the world, endured humanity, actually lessened himself, poured himself out, became a man so he could die for us on the cross, cover us with his blood, and fulfill the promises and the covenants all throughout Scripture so that we can be with him again in eternity, for eternity. I love that. I love that picture. What a remarkable picture of love that we as Christians can live out. You know, and he did all of this, and he didn't try to seek his own honor when he did miracles and everything else. It's just an amazing picture that no other religion has. Nobody else has it. And Pastor Afshin, you're really living Christ out on this earth, and you can really see Jesus in you. And so thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless you, and just keep up the fight, okay?
Thank you, brother. It's an honor to stand with you as well. God bless you.
All right, God bless. Well, this is Matt Shea. I really want to thank everybody for joining me on Patriot Radio today, the day after Christmas. And get ready. This is going to be a year to remember, 2020. And if you are wondering what's going on, listen to some Patriot Radio podcasts over the break and get caught up. Be prepared. Know Jesus Christ. Be in his presence. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.